Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
Hump Day!
Yeah.
Hump Day!
Welcome to the Best Bet
Poker Show. Rolling
in at
the last minute here tonight.
Woo, boy, I'll tell you what. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie B. Deal here with Jesse the Boss.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Dustin the Great.
Woo-hoo! One time.
One time. Very special guest, Mike Fried, in the studio tonight. You're going to have to give us some kind of
sound. Got no sounds.
I feel like you need a sound.
Didn't realize I was supposed to prepare a sound.
And Country running the booth. Yes, yeah. Fantastic. We got a great show for you guys tonight. Sorry, we're coming in a little bit crazy here tonight. The light was broken on Southside to turn left to come into the station. And with the traffic coming down Southside, it was like stuck.
We were just stuck. And I was like, wow, we thought we were going to be late, but now we have plenty of time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, we're still at the light.
And so here we are with you now.
We made it.
So good to be here.
It's very local. Traffic report brought to you by Best Bet.
That's exactly
that's right.
And so with that, I'll tee it up and let you know what Mike is really good at. So Mike's joining us. Thank you for joining us. Very well-known, established attorney here in town, as well as now a very well-known comedian. Also,
it's what everybody wants in a lawyer, someone who could tell jokes, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, sometimes.
It's
it is a
combo.
Funny combination.
It is an ironic combination. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. We have some fun questions to talk about with you and to kind of model through. And I'm sure you've prepared some fun things that you're going to tell us about regarding our, you know, what we do in the poker world, whether we're playing, whether we're working, and how ridiculous we might be.
What could possibly be funny about that?
What could possibly be funny about poker players and their shenanigans? I cannot imagine.
Where to start?
So we got the World Series of Poker. Everybody's fired up about the World Series of Poker, whether that's involving going, not attending, their vaccination policies, and so forth and so on. The list goes on. So I think that there's a lot of conversation that can be driven around that. And if people have questions or you want to chime in, you're welcome to call. 641-1010 is the phone number. Or you can also text to that number and we'll receive it on the text line and we can answer your questions. So fun fact, right? We know that most professional poker players are good at golf. And we always say, if you're not a good golfer, then there's no way you're a good professional poker player, because they kind of go hand in hand, right?
There is some crossover, yeah.
There's a big crossover. Like most poker players play golf, and it's because
a big
they have
chunk of them, yeah.
A big chunk of them.
Sure.
For a multitude of reasons. I mean, what better place to gamble?
Hey, they don't have jobs, right? So they can go play golf whenever
all
they
day.
Want.
So they play golf all day, they play poker all
That's
night.
That's probably the most, you know, it's probably the biggest reason.
Yeah, but there's also lots of gambling that happens on the golf course.
They also binge Netflix, I think. So there is a correlation between time on your hands, I think.
That's right.
Mike, do you play golf?
You know, I think I've broken the code. I'm a horrible golfer and a horrible poker player. So I think the inverse of your point is the same.
So no. Top golf?
You know, I can hit it out there and get a bunch of 10-pointers.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
Yeah, I think I've even been in a tournament with you guys once or twice. I was taking lessons recently at an establishment here in town, and about $1,000 later, I realized I'm just horrible at this, and I don't think I'll be finishing my lessons.
And you wished that somebody would have told you that when you were $100 in, right?
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
So the World Series has got all this stuff going on, but listen to this. This guy, Dustin Denzik, who is a professional poker player, who is now trying to become a professional golfer, and he's so close. So what he did was he shot 10 under in a professional golf tournament.
Wow.
He finished 10 under par. So it was, he shot 10 under 60 during the first round of the Korn Ferry Tour Q School event. So this is like
Korn Ferry Q School event?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ferry events.
That's my favorite event. If you've never heard of this event, what is wrong with you? It's happening in Madison, Mississippi, okay? So he played golf in college. He finished his 3-day tour 15 under par, not 10 under, 15 under par, which put him in second place.
Is this a putt-putt event by any chance?
This is an actual, event. So he finishes second, right? He moves on to the first stage of the Q School. There's 32 other people that also finish. The first stage is in September. The second one is in October. If he makes it through both of those qualifying rounds, he gets to go to the final in November, which would guarantee him a spot in the Korn Ferry Tour, which now makes him a professional golfer.
Awesome.
Right?
Go Dustin.
And yeah, now,
great name.
So if he does well in the Korn Ferry Tour, he also then makes the jump to the PGA. So this one crazy tournament that he plays put him on a path to becoming a PGA golfer.
How about that?
I was like, this is the craziest thing.
Man, so, we're going to have to follow him for the next year or so, see how he does on the...
Yeah.
Go so to the PGA, Dustin.
He describes himself as a professional golfer and a semi-retired poker player.
Now, if you make it to the PGA Tour by virtue of the Korn Ferry Tour, did the other golfers make fun of you?
I feel like they probably should.
How'd you get a Korn Ferry Tour?
Not just the Korn Ferry Tour, the Korn Ferry Q Tour.
Whatever that means.
Excuse me, Tour Q School. I was like, how do we come up with this name? Where did this even come from? I don't know. Check this out. Two casinos are looking to legalize or to put in dispensaries. Two tribal casinos in two very different areas. This is fun, and I'm certain there's a lot of questions around this for Mike. So two casinos are putting in dispensaries or have the idea. Harris Cherokee in North Carolina and Foxwoods in Connecticut. Okay. So both casinos are looking to add facilities that are 25,000 square feet. That is a huge space for a dispensary. They want to have drive-through options, Amsterdam-style lounges. And even though it's not federally legal, and they haven't said whether or not they'll allow people to actually consume while they're on property, but they'll be able to go hang out, sit, lounge, buy, so forth and so on. So here's the kicker. When you start taking something that, like... marijuana, which is legal in the state, and add it to a gaming establishment, you have multiple people that are weighing in different factors. So, for instance, Nevada, which was one of the first states to legalize recreationally back in 2016, they were not the state banned them federally from saying, they were like, it's not federally legal. You cannot have any marijuana inside any casino whatsoever.
Right.
But because these are tribal properties, they kind of fall under a different classification.
Yeah. And first, can I answer as a comedian and then I'll go to lawyer?
Absolutely.
I would expect nothing less, honestly.
I mean, as I go through casinos, I've always thought if there's one thing missing here, it's the opportunity to get high on marijuana. That would make the experience complete.
Does that make it a 6-star resort?
I guess
so. Yeah.
All the lights and sounds and everything. It's like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I am certainly no expert on tribal law, but the federal government continues to prohibit the things that the states in varying degrees are permitting. And so it's one of these things where everybody's kind of looking the other way. And I think there's a expectation that at some point the federal government will follow suit. But technically, everything that happens on a local or state level that involves marijuana, trafficking of marijuana, distribution of marijuana is federally illegal. I think there's been little to no federal prosecutions for that type of thing for quite some time, though.
Do you think that it would bring, just from an opinion standpoint, mm-hmm. do you think that if you're bringing light to something like that and a casino, right, a big organization like a casino is supporting that in such a way, do you think that sort of like flags the federal government to be like, hey, do we step in and kind of start talking about this, or do you think it's insignificant?
Well, no, I don't think it's insignificant. I think it's one of those things like the immigration system that everybody knows it needs to be fixed and reconciled, mm-hmm. but there's not a lot of political courage to get it done, mm-hmm. Just because of the way certain people feel like they need to vote and the donations that come from certain communities, certain politicians. So, with a Democrat in the White House and a leaning Democrat, frankly, at the House and the Senate side of things, it's probably the best chance for the federal legalization of marijuana to happen. We'll just see if there's, an impetus to do it.
It's interesting. I wonder if there's if that might be part of the reason why they've kind of decided to do this.
Because
they're
for it now,
and they're two separate tribes, right? They're two separate
two
tribes,
states,
two states. Separate states, and doing the exact same thing. One of the things I think is funny is they're one of the spaces, I forget which casino, the Cherokee tribe is going to close the bingo hall and turn it into a dispensary. And I thought, well, that kind of makes a lot of sense,
proper.
Actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's proper. Like, what are we going to do with bingo? And
you know,
then
I think bingo while you're high is probably a much better sport.
Probably. It'd be more entertaining.
They're going to have to put on, you know, expand the building to rebuild the bingo hall now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to have all the, you know, all the elderly in there.
Yeah. A lot of them have glaucoma anyway, and they're already smoking marijuana.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. They're going to need their bingo, but
dovetails perfectly.
So I wonder, I don't know. Dustin, what would you feel like you would go and like hang out? Do you feel like it would change your mind as to whether or not you would go to the casino? Like, do you think you would be like, oh, you know, maybe I'm anti-marijuana, or I feel like it's going to bring in bad riffraff and I don't want to be there?
Well, here's the thing about me. I don't need any extra convincing to go to the casino.
Yeah. Truth.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I'm
yeah. We're going to the casino no matter what it has.
Yeah, right.
Or without.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't need any extra convincing. But I do think it's cool. I think it's progressive. I think it's cool. Ironically, I have a friend who was banned from Cherokee for smoking marijuana on the premises years ago.
I wonder if they'll lift
years ago,
the ban.
Yeah. Years ago, he was banned from Cherokee. I asked him one time. I was like, do you want to go to Cherokee? He was like, I'm banned. And I was like, why? He was like, for smoking weed at Cherokee. They took his backpack and went through it and found more weed and then banned him.
I wonder if they'll lift the ban.
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. It's very
now
ironic. Now they're going to sell it in the casino.
It's probably his weed.
Probably his weed.
What I'd like is the opportunity to have the Doritos distributorship in that.
Right next door.
Right. Yes.
Like or just venture. even just the vending machine.
Any vending machine that sells junk food, I think will do real well. But won't the pace of play, not that I smoke pot, but if I did, I imagine I would play a little slower, perhaps.
You know,
maybe a little stupider.
The interesting thing is that the first thing you think, what a brilliant idea. Get everybody really high in a casino where they're going to be, you know, betting with their money and not making good decisions. But, yes, it will slow the pace of everything down. And then you have the same problem that you had or still have in places like Vegas sometimes where people tend to drink and overdrink and
That's
get overserved. And you lose, you know, you hear the stories about the guy that lost $1 million or whatever. He wakes up. He's like, what happened? Where's my money? Like, you lost it gambling. Like, I don't even know what I did or where I was.
Who are you people? What are you doing in my living room?
You know, and then they sue the casino for over serving them while he's gambling. And so he didn't have a chance, basically. He loses all his money.
Yeah.
Will that happen?
It's a lot harder to track marijuana usage, isn't it?
I would think it is. But if they're selling it right there in the casino and they sell it to you and they, even especially if they let you smoke it in their Amsterdam lounge,
yeah,
and then like you go out and you're like, hit me. What do you mean? I already have 20. I'm trying to get to 21. I need one more. Hit me. Then all of a sudden, you know.
Well, maybe the next thing will be the red light district in the casino.
In Cherokee, North Carolina.
I just assumed that was part of the Amsterdam lounge.
Yeah, it might be, in fact. It might actually be. All right, well, we have plenty to talk about with the World Series of Poker Plus. We have some fun giveaways, a nice little grab bag with some awesome Best Bet merchandise for you later in the show. Mike's going to continue to remain with us throughout the program, so stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest Mike Free joining us today. I feel like I didn't give you much of an introduction just because we've had you on the show and I kind of feel bad about that. So I want to like give you a little spotlight time here. You know what I mean? I kind of just dove right in. So in terms of, you know, you being an attorney, obviously people can call you if they have legal issues, right?
They could do that.
They could do that. But you would probably much more prefer that they come in a matter and see you perform at one of your incredible events, like the Ace Arena, or what are some other venues around town that you...
There's probably more of them that are in the market for comedians than lawyers, at least I hope so.
Yeah,
hope so.
I don't know. It is a pandemic.
So yeah, there's that. So, yeah, I'm actually going to be at the, I do a lot of work at the Comedy Zone. So I'll be at the Comedy Zone this Thursday through Sunday, opening for George Wilburn, a really funny comedian from Chicago, a nationally syndicated radio personality.
Awesome.
So six shows Thursday through Sunday. I do a lot of shows there. There's a handful of other places around town. And then, you know, when I travel, I do shows out of town. But your listeners probably wouldn't be as interested in that.
I don't know. You might. I mean, you could pick up some groupies.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Little white bald comedian groupies.
You're kind of like, it's sort of like the poker player gone professional golfer. You would be the lawyer gone professional comedian.
Yeah, that's about right. It is a an odd correlation.
It would be funny.
It would
if it happened, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, I would love that.
Bad news is you've been sentenced to death. But did you hear the one about the rabbi and the priest and the bunny that went into the liquor store?
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
softens the blow a little, I think.
Yeah, a little bit, right? So yeah, so if we want to catch your show, and of course we can find you on Twitter, I know, at Freed to Laugh.
Yeah, Freed to Laugh is the funny stuff, yep. That's right.
And then, so that's all the fun stuff, fun and funny stuff. And if they wanted to follow you on Facebook or anywhere else?
Yeah, yeah, it's all the same. Freed to Laugh on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yay!
And freedtolaugh.com for schedules of shows and all that kind of stuff. So I would welcome the opportunity to make you laugh. God knows we need more laughs about now.
We do. Yeah, absolutely. Things are serious enough. So there's a lot of laughing, speaking of laughing, around the World Series of Poker and some of the decisions that they have made. There's been a lot of laughing and a lot of cheering and then a lot of division, I would say. So first of all, the World Series of Poker generally takes place during the summer. So it has moved this year to the fall due to the pandemic and, you know, trying to be able to facilitate things. So they have decided they're going to continue to move forward with the World Series of Poker. It runs through September 30th to like November 14th or something-ish. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. The main, yeah, that's correct.
The main starts on the 4th, right? November 4th.
Yeah. November 4th. So I think there's 88 total events. There's online events that are also scheduled. And then, of course, your live local events. It'll still be at the Rio. But they have recently announced that they are now going to require all players to be vaccinated and show proof of vaccination with an app called Health Pass. Like Clear Mobile Health Pass app, I think is what it's called.
Is this their app or is this an app?
It's a little unclear to me. I think that it's their app. And the only reason I think that is because when they talk about it, there's two different ways to show proof of vaccination. A, with the mobile app where you upload your vaccination card and it registers when you walk in the door. So you don't have to actually go and show it to anybody. It sounds like when you enter the building and you're on the premises, it dings, it knows you're registered, you're in the system. Now, I don't know how they man that, because if you came in and it didn't register, how would they know that it didn't, right? So yeah. I'm not sure where the checks and balance lies there, and it's a little unclear still. But what I do know is you must have your vaccination completed 14 days prior to entering the facility. I'm not sure that the Rio itself requires you to be vaccinated to come into the casino. So you kind of have two separate things.
And that's the interesting part. I think it's just to enter the specific ballrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe since the World Series takes up the entire section
of the conference
of all
area.
The ballrooms, every mm-hmm. single conference room at the Rio, maybe they just block off the front and the back and say you can't get in either one of these doors without being vaccinated. I mean, they have to, really.
Well, it's kind of a strange thing, right? Like, I don't even understand how the checks work. Well, the other thing is like, let's say you don't have this app, right? Because maybe you don't have a cell phone or whatever the case may be. There's a desk where you can show your vaccine card. But I think what ends up happening is when you're registering, the only thing that makes sense to me is that if you're going to register for the tournament, you go through the registration line. And when you go through the registration line and they plug in your name, there must be something in the system that pops up and tags your app and says, yes, we have shown that you are actually here, or, you know, you have gone to the desk and done X, Y, and Z. That's the only way I feel like it would work.
What's the volume of people we're talking about? How many people?
Massive amounts. Tens of thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah.
There's probably no less than 3,500 people in that convention center at all times during the series.
So
thousands, not tens of thousands, but thousands.
Yeah,
at any given time.
Right. During a normal series. I will say this. So the CDC came out and said approximately 58% of eligible Americans have received the vaccine. So if that number is true for all poker players, then that means there would be upwards of 42%. That would be 42% of their player base.
Would be unvaccinated.
Right. What's your guess on whether the poker population is represented by the general population in terms of desire to get vaccinated?
Well, interesting that you ask that. So card player, which is, you know, a reputable news source for poker and poker players.
Where I get all my news, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, poker news, yeah, and gaming news. So they put out a poll on Twitter and reached out to their followers and said, you know, would you play? Do you like this? You know, do you prefer it? What does it look like? So 41.1% of people responded and said they were more likely to play now that there's proof of vaccination. 22.1% said that they were less likely to play, and the others said they were indifferent.
So basically what that's saying is about 70%+ of the people in the poker community are going to be vaccinated and going to play.
What it sounds like.
Sounds like, yeah.
Am I right, though, that because of the vaccination requirement, they no longer have to wear the masks, so they could have been motivated by the fact that they're not going to wear a mask?
No, because there's still a state law, a state mandate in the state of Nevada.
There's not. The governor just lifted the mask mandate. If there is a, so he just announced at large events where vaccinations are mandatory,
right.
You're not required to wear a mask.
A swap.
The WSOP is going to require you to also wear a mask.
That's what I thought.
So they're
going
to double up. But the governor did say that it's not
really
like it's up to the business to decide. Okay. So
but the World Series of Poker is going to make you wear a mask.
They are. It is mandatory. WSOP says it is mandatory to wear a mask, as well as being vaccinated, and that includes all media, media staff. Anybody coming
and, in. And they really have to do this because, as I was just reading some of the stuff on online, the biggest concern for somebody is coming into contact with somebody else. You know, through no fault of my own, I you know, a guy brushes by me and then he tests positive. Now you're going to kick me out and I got to go quarantine for 14 days. Mm-hmm. So what they've said is if you're vaccinated and wearing a mask and you come into close contact, and we know it, and everybody knows it, you don't have to leave if you're asymptomatic. Until you have symptoms, and then beat it.
I see Kev Math chimed in here, and he said that it's not a WSOP app. He thinks that, or somebody said they think it's affiliated with biometrics company.
Okay, so it's a different medical company's app that the World Series is using.
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, there's other jurisdictions that are doing that. I think New York has sort of a passport to let you go to the theater and places like that. So
I wonder if it's the same thing.
If it's not the same, it's something like it. I'm sure there's bunches of them coming online, people taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Which makes sense.
So here's a question, and maybe you've covered it before, but pre-COVID, I'm assuming players could not wear masks. Correct?
Yes.
That's for fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden people are wearing masks. Does it affect the ability to bluff? People like it, don't like it? Is breath better around the table? What's going on there?
Breath is definitely better.
So there's pluses and
the
minuses,
is
right?
Far less noticeable.
Okay. Except your own, obviously.
Yeah. It's like that's it.
And you know,
poker players don't like to shower, so like the mask is actually helpful.
Sure. Maybe a full body mask would be in order.
Just a bubble.
A hazmat suit.
Body condoms. That's what Trojan needs to come out with, the COVID body condom.
Wow. Okay. You heard it here first.
Like, there's your idea.
They're going to have to pay you now. That was your idea. Yeah.
Just a little royalties. That's all.
I like it.
Put my name on the my picture on the package.
So, well, here's some other things that are fun, right? So somebody tweeted something funny about EDC, right? Because there's poker players that are complaining about saying, you know, you're taking away our rights. Why are you making us get vaccinated? And there's all this uproar, right? And somebody tweeted something really funny about EDC saying, you know, you won't get vaccinated because you don't want to put this in your body. However, you'll go to EDC and consume 5 different drugs that you don't know inside of 3 days or whatever. It was funny.
It was
funny about that also is EDC is also on the bandwagon. You are required to be vaccinated to go to EDC. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's kind of a weird thing. I was like,
there's no shortage of hypocrisy out there.
Right.
It's like,
you can take all the MDMA you want.
Yeah.
As long as you're vaccinated.
As long as you're vaccinated. You can put anything you want in your body.
Our stuff works great, but yes. Please be sure you're vaccinated.
Please be sure you're vaccinated.
But, the truth to all this is we're trying to get back to normal and back to a place where we can have concerts, events, shows, big tournaments and stuff. And the only way to do that is to have everybody be vaccinated, wear masks. And it's not just because, you can argue whether it's, right or wrong to be vaccinated, but the only way to have the events is
correct.
To do that because of there's too much liability. Mm-hmm. And what happens when somebody comes to a poker tournament and they don't do anything wrong and all of a sudden somebody else, has COVID and they get kicked out? Or you go to a concert and then all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you got to go. Why? Well, because that guy has COVID and he just got next to you, so you're out.
Yeah.
And remember how the world shut down? It was the NBA, right? So it's a big, visible, sports-oriented thing that can screw it up for everybody.
Yeah. And poker is a sport. I mean, we've sportified poker for the last 2 decades or whatever it's been. Mm-hmm. And so it is deemed a sport. And I think that, we all have a responsibility to make sure to keep everybody protected, especially in those close quarters. I do think it's interesting how you do see some of the pros very split and divided on this, right?
Very much,
Some of them are fired up.
They are fired up. I mean, talk about fired up on Twitter. If you are looking for entertainment right now, all you have to do is follow the poker community on Twitter.
It's pretty good, you can get
lost in the rabbit hole for hours listening to some of the tweets that these people that they write, right? And so, like, Chris Moneymaker is one of the people that said he was not planning to attend the World Series of Poker because he was concerned about the health and the safety of his family. But now that they are requiring vaccinations, he is going to go, which is fantastic, right? But then you have other players who are like, they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Kristen Bicknell is one of them. Alex Foxen is also another one who's been very vocal about saying, my choice, my body, my choice. I'm not, this is insane. They're boycotting the World Series of Poker. So Sarah Salinger puts this hysterical tweet out and she says, you can't boycott something you're not allowed to attend. And I thought,
which is hilarious.
That's brilliant.
And nothing against Alex and Kristen.
Nothing.
They're great, but
it's a source
funny.
Of entertainment. Yeah, I mean, it's really like, it's pretty entertaining right now to follow poker players on Twitter because they are firing off.
It reminds me of when I boycotted dating Christie Brinkley. she was quite disappointed.
Yeah.
She was disappointed. Yeah. I feel like I got a letter from her.
Yeah. I have my standards.
That's right.
And they are high standards indeed.
I have standards.
So I guess some of the things that I wonder is, when you register to play a tournament, and I guess this question kind of goes to Jesse first, is when you register to play a tournament, you basically, it's a contract, right? Like it's a contract between you and the player. And you're effectively saying, I agree to play under the terms in which you have set based on whatever the terms are that you set for the tournament. Well, the World Series has said that you may not play any, you may play no event, no bracelet event, no tournament of some other sort. I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
No
cash games, no satellites, deep stacks, nothing. And no bracelet events, but they do have online events. So my question goes to you now. If you make that blanket statement and you say, if you are not vaccinated, you can play none of these events, but it's an online event, are you going to be allowed to play?
Well, I mean, it's a private event and they make their own rules. So it simply depends what the rules are. Now, did the online events allow you to get into some of the bigger events that aren't online?
Well, the online events are bracelet events.
I see.
So when they state you cannot play a bracelet event unless you're vaccinated, what happens with the online events? And I don't know. Like, maybe it's just as simple as you can play. You're not in the building. Who cares? I just thought it was kind of interesting.
It's semantics of the wording. They said you can't play any bracelet event, but then they have bracelet events where you don't have to leave your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing, just going out on a limb here, that if it generates money for the folks that are putting on the tournament, they're going to find a way to let people play.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, creating a health risk.
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like we're going to hear something about that somehow, some way, somewhere.
Yeah.
As the series kind of continues and once it starts and moves forward, I think. That's
sure. And I know we got to take a quick break here in just a second, but somebody mentioned something online that is something to think about while we go on break. That's really interesting.
Okay.
What about all the competing events that are going on in Vegas during the World Series of Poker, right? Yeah. The Nugget's going to have an event. The Wynn's going to have an event. Venetian will have an event. Ariel will have an event. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Kev Math just chimed in and said there are no online bracelet events scheduled during the fall. So Kev, let me ask you this. Is that because of that rule? Is it specifically because of that? Or is it just because it just happens to be the case that there's no online events and that was the way it was scheduled originally? I'm curious. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue to talk about the World Series of Poker, your aspirations. Are you going? When are you going? What are you going to do? That and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest, Mike Fried from Fried to Laugh, is joining us in the studio tonight. We're talking poker. We're talking a lot about the World Series of Poker. And just as prior to us taking a break, we were talking about whether or not there was any online bracelet event scheduled. And Kev Math said that there are none scheduled at this time. And also, there are no other poker tournament series that are being held in Vegas that are requiring players to be vaccinated.
Right.
Which includes Wynn, Golden Nugget, Aria, and Venetian.
Venetian, yeah. And real quick, if you guys ever want to know what's going on in the poker world, follow Kev Math on Twitter.
Yeah, because the man literally knows everything about poker.
Anything you need to know, Kev Math, KevMath.
Yeah.
All things, everything, all the time. You cannot stump him. He will not miss.
He's like Gus in the poker room.
Right. Is he good at math too? Because my kids struggle a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure he's good at math. Yeah, he's a smart guy.
I feel like he better be, right? Mike, have you ever played a WSOP event, or if you've never even played, have you ever been there and walked into the building and seen the series?
I have not. I've seen it on TV. I've seen images of it, but never physically been.
You've never had that feeling.
I have not.
You've never been there and seen. See, if you want, here, I'll tell you what. If you want some great content, you need to go to the series and spend a couple days and just hang out and watch. Number one, that'll give you plenty of content. But also number two, if you just hang out and watch Phil Hellmuth enter with his entourage, that'll give you enough material probably for the rest of your life.
You do a whole show,
to make fun of.
That would be amazing. Well, I enjoy watching the people at your establishments. I think they're amusing, too.
Yeah,
it's just a microcosm, but probably pretty representative. I don't see anyone with an entourage, but it's a good
group. Every once in a while, we'll get an entourage in there.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Certain random people, they'll come in, and they'll be just the whole...
They bring the whole posse.
The whole group that just sort of follows them around from place to place and have a good time.
I do too. No, actually, I don't. That's not true. I don't want an entourage. That sounds terrible.
I think that the Las Vegas airport is one of the funniest places on the planet. That's the best place to people watch.
It is literally one of the best places in the world to people watch.
Yeah, the Las Vegas airport is one of my favorite places on the planet.
You know, the worst thing about traveling on an airplane to Las Vegas is being on an airplane with other people who are going to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That is true.
There's a lot of truth in that.
That's a very good point.
And the ride home is very different.
It's very quiet on the ride home.
It is.
It's fired up on the way there.
There are definitely some stories about airplane rides to and from Vegas that I have witnessed, experienced, and heard about from family, friends, and the likes of anybody else. But they used to have. Have you ever been on the flight, the stripper flight?
I'm going to say no.
I feel like you would know if you had been, but there was a flight that notoriously, and I don't know if it goes back.
A specific flight from LA.
From LA to Vegas, and it would fly, and it was known as the stripper flight.
It was the Friday evening flight.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday evening. I don't remember which one it was, but you had all the strippers coming in from LA who lived in LA, and they'd come and work for the weekend, and then they'd fly home on Monday.
Huh.
And you always knew when you were on that flight. That was always the running joke for anybody who lived in Vegas and flew back and forth frequently for business, going back and forth to LA.
It's always interesting to see people, even flying from Jacksonville to Las Vegas, that are perfect total strangers, and yet they're, I don't want to say pairing up, but they're discussing where they're going to be, and, you got to meet here, and then all of a sudden perfect total strangers are meeting up at some place where they can get chicken at 3 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah, you know, that is funny. You do make a lot of friends. And I think maybe because the drinks are flowing or you're just on an entertainment flight.
Vegas state of mind.
Yeah, it is a Vegas state of mind. But the saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, that's not true. That's a lie. Don't believe
it. Not with cameras.
Yeah, don't believe it. It leaves Vegas. It hits social media immediately.
That's right. And it's all over the world.
And it's all over the world. Everybody knows exactly what you did in Vegas the moment you did it. In fact, if you're trying to hide, that's the last place to go.
Yeah, it should probably be what happens in Montana stays in Montana. That makes more sense.
That would
it
make does more make, sense.
That makes much more sense, actually. That's very true.
Because what just happened in Montana?
Who knows?
That's right.
Nobody knows.
No clue.
Probably a tree fell.
But nobody knows.
Because nobody heard it?
That's right.
Right. All right, so if we go back to the World Series of Poker, we're talking about attendance, right? And we're looking at the attendance being down and some conversation regarding what types of buy-ins. How is that? How has the schedule been adjusted this year? And we already mentioned there's 88 total events. And we were hoping to be able to send a slew of people to Vegas from here, but due to the fact that, and it was terrible because it was on, it was off, it was on, it was off, it was on, it was off. And so the decision finally was made that due to travel restrictions and too many unknown variables, right, it made it very complicated to try to commit to send people from Florida to Vegas for the series. So hopefully that will be a non-issue and we'll be able to do that again next year because it's always
a lot of
fun.
I hope so, because I was really excited to run those satellites and send a bunch of people to Vegas. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I love when we send a bunch of players out there. It's always super fun.
Oh,
yeah,
it's fantastic.
I mean, instantly, once you have somebody that won our satellite to win to be in the main event, you got an instant sweat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah. So we go, right? And we go to the series. We have a good time. You go out for the G2E this year, right? That's happening. So that's the gaming convention.
Yep.
Is it TDA this year?
No.
Next year?
Presumably it'll be next year. We probably missed a year. So it should be next year.
So we go out to Vegas and we make these grand plans to play in specific events, right? And we all know that playing within your bankroll is one of the most important things to do, especially when we're talking about planning for tournaments, because tournaments eat up a lot of your bankroll. And if you're not cashing, you blow through it very quickly. And the World Series is very notorious for having higher price point buy-ins, right? Like generally, right, there's a couple $500 events and everything else is $1,000 or higher. And right, and it got to the point where there was only a couple $1,000 events, and then it started being mostly $1,500 and higher. But this year, due to attendance being lower, due to COVID, and also something that Mike and I were talking about when we were on break is, you know, you have people that won't come or can't come or choose not to come because they don't want to travel or they're unvaccinated. But also, there's the travel restrictions nationally, which is something important to think about that's going to impact the number of people that attend the series, right? Is can they leave their country? Can they come to our country? Are they, you know, are they comfortable coming and then being worried about getting stuck? Because that's always a concern too, right? Sure. If you leave home and you go to another country and you're there and suddenly the travel restrictions change and you can't get home. I mean, I had a friend who got stuck in Russia for like 2.5 months because they couldn't get home. They went back for a week and restrictions changed and they would not let them leave. And so they were just stuck there. And so I think a lot of people won't travel because of that as well. So adjusting the price point in terms of buy-in amount, they did a really good job with, I think, this year. They dropped, or I feel like there's many more tournaments that are in the $500. There's a couple $800 range tournaments.
There is, yeah. There's a lot of lower limit tournaments.
And I think that was a wise decision to kind of cater to the masses of lesses, if you will.
Masses of
right?
lesses, yeah. I think it is a good idea. And to your point, you know, a lot of the year, I don't even think you can travel here from Europe right now. So, and a lot of people from out of the country are not going to come just because of the travel restrictions. Sure. So to cater more towards the people that are just in the country is probably a good idea. And that will definitely shrink the field. Even though, you know, all the poker tournaments right now happening around the country have had a very big attendance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the attendance has been, there's been a lot of people in every tournament breaking records. But the World Series is a giant international event that brings people in from all over the world.
So just playing the odds just makes it a good time to play if you think you could win and maybe want to weed out some of the competition.
So right? That's a sure. great question. Like, what do you think the field, how do you think it'll affect the fields, right? Like in terms of play? I mean, I think that's a fantastic question. Dustin, do you think that do you think it will change at all in terms of making the fields more difficult or easier? Or do you think it really has no bearing or no?
I think with the, I don't really think it's going to make a difference.
You don't think
honestly.
It'll make a difference?
No.
I don't think it'll. I think it'll make a difference in field size.
Of course.
Right.
But I don't think it'll make a difference in
terms of difficulty.
Difficulty
of...
or skill, no.
I think them lowering some of these price points is, I think kind of their intention was to encourage people to re-enter in case they do have smaller fields, they can still hit their guarantees. So lowering the price point a little bit.
Sure.
You know, people are more incentivized to fire multiple bullets.
But how However, difficult is it going to be to register now with the amount of like steps that you now? I mean, first of all, if you've never been to the series and you don't understand, like lines are long. People register days ahead of time to avoid lines. Yeah. I mean, lines, you could be 2 hours into the tournament and the lines still could be an hour long to get through registration. So if you bust out of a tournament and you want to re-enter, it's going to impact that greatly.
Even 2 years ago, pre-COVID, on some of the big, the less expensive large field flights, like the Colossus or whatever it was, people would re-enter or go busted and try to re-enter and be in line for 2 hours. And now with all the COVID stuff and the vaccination passport, I don't think you're even going to be able to re-enter. In that tournament, if you enter like the reunion, the very first massive, huge multi-flight tournament, there's going to be so many people still trying to get in, you're never going to make it to the front of the line to re-enter. So take that into consideration when you go. Also, one really big piece of advice, if you're going to Las Vegas and you know you're going to play certain events, register ahead of time. You can register online. And if you get there and you haven't registered, go down in the middle of the night and register for whatever tournament you want.
Yeah, that's going to be the right thing to do. All right, we need to take a final break here, but when we come back, we'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Alan McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and very special guest Mike Fried wrapping up the program. Big shout out again. Thank you, Mr. Mike Fried, for joining
for
us
me.
Today.
Fun.
Yeah, you can find him, follow all his laughs and jokes at Fried to Laugh, and you can find him there. That's F-R-E-E-D to Laugh, and you can find him on all social media platforms there. He's performing this week at the Comedy Zone September 2nd through the 5th. That's this Thursday through Sunday. There's a total of 6 shows where he can catch you, and the headliner that you are opening for is
George Wilburn, great comedian out of Chicago. You will love him, and there should be some great shows, so get your tickets now.
Yeah, get your tickets now. Again, that's Comedy Zone, so you can do that there. Lots of things happening. I know we've been talking about World Series of Poker, and it's been all tournament talk, but let me tell you, September is an incredible month to be playing cash at either Best Bet Jacksonville or Orange Park. There are 10K a day days several times throughout the month of September, so that's $10,000 a day that's being given away at either the Orange Park or the Jacksonville location throughout the entire day, right? These are incredible promotions, and they're happening at different times. The first one will be September 4th over in Orange Park, so make sure you check that out. You can get all of your information, of course, pertaining to any tournament, cash promotion, or anything else happening at Best Bet at bestbetjacks.com. And real quick, Dustin, is there a live stream tonight?
Yeah, we are. We are playing 2-2 No Limit at 7 p.m.
2-2 No Limit, 7 p.m. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Blue is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, Mike Fried, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.